On today's episode of VR Coven, ViveCon is imminent, so why am I not excited? Inside the first virtual reality opera, how about police officers train in VR? Fresh upcoming VR experiences plucked right from the garden, how to handle motion sickness from experts, and what worked for me. This is VR Coven. I'm your host, Michael Leonard. Let's get started.
VR Coven. For the love of virtual reality.
Welcome back, everyone. We are going to have a massive episode today. There is a lot to cover. First of all, I want to say make sure to go over to massiveglitch.com if you have any information throughout this entire episode that you want to fill me in on, any exciting new games that you're looking forward to, or any news that you think I should be aware of. There's a contact form, all the links to social media, and all the other shows that I produce in case you're interested in that as well.
Is this the news? This is the news.
Coming to us from The Verge, HTC may announce two new Vive VR headsets on May 11th, and apparently they're geared more toward enterprise use, not gaming. Quote, HTC is planning to unveil two Vive virtual reality headsets at its ViveCon 2021 conference that's happening on May 11th and May 12th, so less than a week away. While the original Vive and Vive Pro headsets were associated more with gaming, the high-end Vive Pro 2 and Vive Focus 3 Business Edition, aren't those the most exciting names ever, will reportedly be aimed toward the enterprise sector. No specs or images of either headset have surfaced, so it's unclear if both will be tethered headsets that require a PC to use, or if one will have a standalone, wire-free design to take on the likes of the Oculus Quest 2. Just, end quote. Just jumping in here, if this is aimed more at the enterprise side of things, I'm highly doubtful that there's going to be any level of competition with Oculus Quest 2. It seems as though Vive or HTC has definitely learned their lesson and that they can't compete with the likes of Facebook or even Valve anymore. I mean, Valve can barely compete with Facebook. So I think the marketplace is becoming a little more homogenous, and HTC is trying to carve out a very different niche. That even goes to speak for the pricing. Apparently, the Vive Focus 3 Business Edition is nearly $2,000 at $1,771, and the Vive Pro 2, it was listed at a little bit over $1,000. They're both apparently launching in May, I'm assuming of this year, so they're going to be announced and then immediately launched. Quote, these headsets could be exciting in their own ways, but another device I'm holding out and hope to see at ViveCon is the fitness-focused Vive Air. Pictures leaked a couple of weeks ago showing an attractive standalone VR headset with a breathable fabric design, and it prompted HTC to say that, unfortunately, it's just a concept. But maybe that's just what a company trying to downplay an exciting announcement would say, right? We'll know much more come May 11th at HTC's VR conference, where the company says it will debut game-changing VR headsets during the keynote. End quote. I would absolutely love if they created a fitness-focused VR headset, because one of the main things that I would love to do more so with my HMD is work out more and not feel like I am in a sweaty cesspit when I'm doing it. I think VR has so much more potential, and I'm glad to see that even if it's a concept, HTC is branching out into different areas, even if some of those areas are kind of boring, like the enterprise sector. I also think it's a little disingenuous that they are promoting this event as having game-changing VR headsets, kind of digging into the, kind of tapping into the market that they're not even working with anymore. You know, game-changing makes you think about, well, games, VR games, the things that we all love. But we're going to have to wait and see. Maybe they have something else up their sleeve that is more competitive in line with Facebook's Oculus Quest 2. Or maybe they're just using the goodwill of the words that they're using to attract more people. Even if you are just a gamer, maybe you will want to plunk down $2,000 on an even more premium VR headset, if that's possible. We'll have to see. I'm not so sure. Coming to us from The Guardian, anything could happen inside the world's first virtual reality opera. Current Rising at the Royal Opera House in London takes its audience on a dizzying journey through strange realms. Could this be the future, according to this article? Quote, start with your feet, Earthkin, whose soprano Anna Dennis, I'm assuming I'm saying that correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm standing in the small space that is hosting the world's first ever virtual reality opera. I have a headset, headphones, and a backpack. The Royal Opera House is calling this the Opera TARDIS. To me, it seems more like a walkthrough art installation with bespoke soundtrack. Whatever this is, it is an opera as we know it. Current Rising was conceived 2 years ago, long before our COVID age, but is now serendipitously topical. It explores what the blurb calls ideas of isolation, connection, and collective reimagination. It wasn't designed to be opera for a socially distant age, but it works that way. Only four people can enter the Opera TARDIS at one time, and we're told to keep 1 meter apart. Tricky, since in hyperreality, judging real-world distances is a dilly of a pickle. End quote. Stuart Jeffries, I love your writing. It's just the right balance of fluff that editorial journalism is known for and actually informative. Quote, Current Rising is brief, but so much is packed into it that it feels rather overwhelming. In the first room, Escher-like projections of impossible staircases and buildings extend infinitely in all directions, but with your route clearly signposted, there is little freedom to explore these strange new worlds. In one, dancers' avatars created by motion capture technology and projected onto huge screens writhe and sync with the music. In another, animated graphs like giant ECG monitors mimic the rise and fall of musical lines. It's a strange, concentrated, occasionally moving and baffling quarter of an hour. Singer and musicians don't lead the action as opera usually would, and very nearly become ancillary to an experience that is multisensory but overwhelmingly visual. End quote. Much like the HTC ViveCon announcement about the enterprise level of headsets that they're coming out with, Current Rising is tapping into an increasingly broad market of offerings that tap into virtual reality and augmented reality, where you don't necessarily have to be a gamer in order to enjoy what it is putting out. Of course, as COVID-19 dies down and more people are vaccinated, and eventually we reach a point where herd immunity is possible, you might see some of this die off. Then again, scientists have been warning us for a long time that these massive viruses that take on the world are not necessarily going to go away just because COVID does. The way in which our world is heating up and changing temperatures, there's going to be a lot more havoc being wreaked. So even if, for the short term, a lot of this might seem unnecessary, it will probably come in handy again. And I'm 100% in support of experiences like this. I would love to be able to one day go with a small group of friends to experience something like this, either near me or a short distance away. You know, it's no different than going to a concert or a movie. You know, you travel to a different state or country and they have all these different offerings for virtual reality that you might not be able to access in your day-to-day life. That being said, of course, these kinds of experiences can undoubtedly be experienced, for a lack of a better word, within your own home. So even though this is interesting and you can actually go to a place where they set you all up and you can walk through areas and you can be within this isolated room while you're doing it, there's nothing to say that you cannot do that when you're sitting on your couch or standing in your living room. Of course, I'm assuming the pricing for this is a lot cheaper than buying headsets for your entire family. There's probably a big difference between spending 30 euros on Current Rising per person and spending nearly 1,000 or 2,000 if you're HTC Vive Enterprise. A few episodes ago, I talked about how frustrating and curious it was that PlayStation was not introducing a VR component for PS5 yet, despite how popular the PS4 VR headset was. It seemed like a perfectly obvious competitor to the Facebook Oculus line and how consumer friendly that HMD was. And then I had to eat my own words because they quickly afterwards announced that they were coming out with the PS5 VR headset. And today we're about to discuss the kind of slimier side of virtual reality and PS5 and our good friends over at Epic Games. This is coming to us straight from Upload VR. Epic offered to make a VR game for new PS5 headset in crossplay dispute. Now, if you're not aware, Epic is currently in the middle of a major lawsuit with Apple. They seem to be starting fights with everyone. They've been doing that since the launch of the Epic Games Store. That seems to be the only way they know how to get attention is by starting beefs and causing problems for the establishment game developers and game platforms out there. Of course, Epic itself is an established game platform, but ever since Fortnite exploded, they definitely seem like the new kid in school, and they want to punch anyone they can to assert dominance. This is a little bit less intense than that, but it kind of builds into their overall mindset of, you know, ucky. Quote, Fortnite developer Epic Games offered to make a new game for the launch of Sony's PS5 VR headset in a bid to enable crossplay, according to a recent report. Yesterday, The Verge posted alleged email exchanges between Epic Games Vice President of Business Development Joe Kreiner and Sony's Senior Director of Developer Relations Gio Corsi. I don't know. I'm not good with names. It doesn't matter where the name originates from. I'm going to be from around 2018. In the emails, Kreiner attempts to persuade Corsi and the wider PlayStation brand to enable cross-play support in multiplayer megaton Fortnite. As we all know, cross-play was eventually implemented on PS4, but Sony was infamously slow to support the feature. It didn't arrive until long after it was enabled on Xbox, PC, and Switch. In the first email, Kreiner lists out potential perks to sweeten the deal, including PS Plus extras and E3 branding. But interestingly, he also floats the idea of a new game for the launch of Sony's then unannounced PS5 VR headset. Epic's willing to explore more items, the email reads. Maybe we commit to a game at the launch of your next VR platform. End quote. I always hate news like this simply because of the fact that it is kind of the scummier business side of things, and I don't really have a tolerance for that. The idea that in order to get what they want, Epic is just lumping all of these additional incentives on. And I know that that's kind of how business works in general. You have to sweeten the pot if you want to get what you want. But the fact that Epic does it constantly, and it's always in the public eye to some degree, or it always gets leaked in this case, is just irritating. The fact that they think that they can get what they want just because they keep pushing what they believe to be value onto everyone else is just it's annoying and it's gross, and I wish it would stop. That being said, I guess they got what they wanted. Whether or not they are actually developing a PS5 VR game is yet to be seen, but we'll just have to wait. Time will tell if Sony gave Epic what they wanted based on these deals that they were trying to make under the counter. I'll say it once and I'll say it again. We here at VR Coven do not appreciate Epic. That is one of our mantras that we never say until right now. We got ourselves an interesting news source in the Sacramento Bee. See Sacramento Police Department's new virtual reality training gear. Sacramento Police Department personnel demonstrate their new virtual reality training helmet and gear Wednesday, May 5th. 2021 at the Sacramento Police Academy. Quote, virtual reality training allows officers to apply techniques such as implicit bias, cultural competency, de-escalation, and peer intervention, Bale said. The adjustable and modular Inveris system allows up to two officers to go through the virtual scenario together as they listen to directions from an instructor over the headset. The instructor also provides the voice for the person the officer is encountering in the virtual scenario. The system was provided to the police department by California's Commission on Peace Officers Standards and Training. Bale said the department has only had the Enveris headset system for about a month, and his training division is learning how to best incorporate this virtual system in their other training. He said the system allows the department to create an environment very quickly for a particular training situation they want for officers, especially officers with less experience, so they can experience that stress inoculation and slow events down in the field so that they feel they have options. They're able to see these critical decision points in a call for service, Bale said. Training accelerates that experience, end quote. I don't think it's arguable that police training has been a hotbed for conversation for the past year, stretching out even further decades, but this past year has really hammered home how police either need training, need a lot more training, or just fine the way they are, depending on where you stand. But this just so happens to be a case where virtual reality is stepping in. We've seen it time and time again where virtual reality is being used across many fields, as including surgery and general healthcare. I believe I even saw something about firefighting training. And it's just one of the ways in which this tool set that we have is going to hopefully enhance police officer abilities to gauge a situation and not make poor decisions or misunderstand a situation, and hopefully improve their competency while protecting people who are more likely to be targeted by police. I think one of the main things that people disregard when it comes to virtual reality is they see it as a tool for gamers. But more and more, we're seeing that it is a tool for everyone to benefit from. It is a tool that we can all enjoy and we can all use to learn. Now, I'm sure there is going to be a lot of pushback from certain individuals and segments of the population on why do we even need something like this. And I honestly choose to ignore that. And I suggest that you do too. There is a reason why we no longer rely on sticks and stones to start fires and protect ourselves every night. There is a reason why we have built up so much technology to assist and benefit us. And sometimes I grow a little tired of the naysayers who demand that we maybe go back to the day where we don't rely so much on technology, where we put our phones down and we step away from our computers. And well, honestly, the real world sometimes sucks a lot more than anything in the virtual world. And if we can make reality better using that virtual world, I would prefer it greatly. Whether it's training individuals to adapt to the modern world after being incarcerated, like Goodwill is, as covered in the last episode, or simply helping people with anxiety cope and learn coping mechanisms that allows them to function in society again, I'm all for this. Every time I see a news article like this, I feel like I have to include it in an episode because it makes me happy, it makes me feel better about our future, and even with divisive issues like this one, to me, it's a huge positive, it's a huge benefit to us as a society. And believe it or not, we do live in a society.
Wow, games.
Let's run through some recent games or upcoming games. Let's run through some upcoming games that I've spotted on Steam. Virtual reality experiences that have intrigued me or at least plopped onto my radar. These are not games that I've played yet. They're not games that I've been sent or paid to talk about. And they're definitely not games that are even out yet. So take all of this and use it as a benchmark for what you might look at in the future once some reviews pour in from other gamers, or if you want to buy it, if you want to pre-order it. First up, Wraith, The Oblivion Afterlife. Now, any game that has that many subtitles and titles makes me a little nervous, but the overall graphics and the horror aspect of it has me intrigued. Anytime I can get more horror in my virtual reality, I'm up for it. You're gonna get my attention. When it actually looks intriguing and scary and high fidelity, Okay, you have my interest even more so. So what is this game about? You died in a mysterious seance and have become a wraith, one of the restless undead. In this VR horror game, use your supernatural abilities to solve the mystery behind your death. But beware of the sinister specters lurking in the shadows. This is coming from developer Fast Travel Games, also known for The Curious Tale of the Stolen Pets and Apex Construct. All very different games. But we'll just have to see what goes on here. I don't know much about this experience so far, but it looks like a solid horror game. It looks like it might rely a little bit too much on tropes. But in a VR experience, I feel like that's more acceptable than in a AAA single player normal video game, just because you know you're experiencing it in a new format, in a new way for the first time. So keep this one on the radar. It looks fascinating. Next up is Lo-Fi. What is Lo-Fi? You're the sheriff of City Block 303, a retro-futuristic cyberpunk slum where the only inhabitants of note are other Lo-Fi, humans too poor to jack into the platform and rusting old robots and rusting old robots that didn't achieve the intelligence singularity. What you do with your time is up to you. Are you a good cop hotshot? Lo-Fi is a new kind of experience designed specifically for virtual reality. Well, I mean, that doesn't really sell me because most virtual reality games are built and designed for virtual reality. More akin to a holodeck program than a traditional game, the massive open world has a lot to do, but it's up to you as a player as to what you want to do. This is a completely non-linear world. You can patrol the skies, handing out tickets, hang out in the arcade and play games, or try your luck at the casino. How you earn and spend your credits is entirely up to you. There are tons of upgrades to purchase, from weapon upgrades to toys for your companions. We want you to roam the world and enjoy yourself the way you want to. We set the stage, but the story is in your hands. This is the kind of game that I really want more of in virtual reality. Let me know if you are aware of any games like this where they essentially have these open worlds or even semi-open worlds where they combine a whole bunch of different game modes and play styles into one experience where you can kind of do what you wish. Kind of like a role-playing game, but a little more varied, you know, utilizing all the different ways that you can enjoy virtual reality. Personally, I don't know of many. Some of the only virtual open world or semi-open world games that I have played recently is No Man's Sky, which is not a VR exclusive game by any means, and The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, where you can kind of just putz around and do what you want if you want to, or you can follow through on a mainline story. But that's one of the main reasons why this grabbed me, is because I want more games like this. I don't want just a game where it's one note, you do one thing, you swing swords or you shoot shots and that's it. I want to be able to pop into one game and have a completely different experience day to day if I want to. And finally, Axe Gang. Axe Gang is a co-op VR, non-VR game. This is Axe Gang. Wow, I'm having a lot of trouble. And I'm debating on if I'm just gonna cut all these issues or keep them in. Does it endear you more to me if I leave in all my mistakes? Axe Gang is a co-op VR / non-VR game for PC that features an epic battle of four survivors with axes against the infected robots. Axe Gang? Bah, I already read that. The action... So many mistakes! The action takes place in an uncertain future when people have lost the technology of electricity due to the strange energy exchanging. This is developed by Dev Zukov, and I can almost guarantee that it is not an American company because the writing is a little discordant. But in this kind of a game, and a game in general, that's not really too much of a concern unless you're banking really hard on a compelling story. That does not seem to be the case here. It seems to be more of a very forward action experience. The four surviving heroes will fight for their lives with never let them down axes. Huh? Okay, while the environment will be hostile as if the planet itself wants to be reborn again. In each scene of the movie proposed by the creators, four characters will have to perform one or another task. Can play single or four players. Yeah, it looks like a fun experience where, you know, you can play with people who either have a virtual reality headset or don't. And if that's the case, then I'm all in, because even though Steam warns that you need a virtual reality headset, the game itself says you don't. So we'll see how that pans out. But I am definitely for more games that you can play with virtual reality or not with friends. Because guess what? Not every one of my friends wants to spend almost $1,000 on an HMD. And I can't fault them for that, because only lunatics like me will do that.
Okay, sit down. We need to have a conversation.
We found your virtual reality stash.
A recent Wired article popped up and reminded me that, despite the fact that virtual reality has been a major platform for several years now, we're still trying to struggle with and cope with some of the underlying components of virtual reality that have been there since day one. The Wired article I'm talking about is How to Reduce Motion Sickness in Virtual Reality. It was published like a week ago. And I'm just going to read this verbatim and then give you some tips of my own that I've come up with since I have first put on an HMD. Quote, experts think motion sickness is primarily caused by a mismatch between cues sent to your brain. If your eyes see one thing and your inner ear is experiencing another, you might experience nausea, explains Adrian Priesel, an otoneurologist in the Division of Vestibular Disorders at Mass Eye and Ear. Sitting in the back seat of a moving vehicle maximizes the sensory mismatch and can make symptoms worse, he explains. In the case of VR, the sensory mismatch is the converse. Visual stimulation is sending a signal to the brain that the person is in motion, while balance organ signals indicate the person is not. You can, however, mitigate some of these symptoms. First, says Suarez, make sure your lenses are clean and that your IPD, or interpupillary distance, is set properly on the headset if it offers IPD adjustment. If you wear glasses, you can often find this value in millimeters on your prescription. If you don't, you may just have to adjust it while in-game to find the right setting. Speaking of glasses, if you can't wear contacts, try to accommodate your glasses in the headset by adjusting the strap or using a glasses spacer on a headset that offers them. They may be sold separately. Oh, and make sure the headset is comfortable and that your PC, if you're using one, is capable of running the games at a high enough frame rate. 60 frames per second is good, but the higher you can go, the better. Most of the big name headsets can display 90 frames per second or higher. Once you have the basics out of the way, you can start digging into your game's settings. The best way to avoid sickness is to use the control schemes that work better for each particular type of experience, explains Suarez. In general, standard video game thumbstick controls are the worst of them all, especially when trying to turn your view. It's more natural to just turn your head. Try to turn your body instead of using the thumbsticks whenever possible. And if your game offers an option to switch to teleportation mode, where you point to where you want to move and appear there instantly, it can reduce motion sickness quite a bit, even if it's a bit less immersive. Hold on, this is not part of the article. My dog's trying to climb on top of me. That's not good. That's really breaking this down. Hi, sweetie. Hi. How about you just sit there and I'll be with you in a second. Ugh. Some games also offer a field of view adjustment that can help as well. In Population 1, for example, you can adjust a setting that blacks out the edges of the screen to create a vignette. To create a vignette effect as you move. This almost completely eliminated my motion sickness in the game. Moving with the thumbstick in full view mode was nausea-inducing, but by blocking out most of my peripheral vision, I was able to move with the thumbsticks much more pleasantly. Suarez also says that keeping a haptic link to your real-world environment may help. Some people do this by having a clearly distinctive playing area on the floor, for example, a thick rug, which will make it very easy to feel with your feet if you're standing in the right place or not. While headsets usually include a virtual guardian, the more real-world feel of the rug might keep you from feeling too detached from the real world. Others seem to feel better when having a direct stream of air towards them, he says, so try putting a fan in front of you and see if that helps. Finally, start slowly, and don't force yourself if you start to feel sick. While Priesel notes that repeated exposure may lessen the effects over time, taking breaks is key. Suarez recommends listening to your body and acting accordingly. Start slowly and move to more demanding experiences only after you feel comfortable with the simpler ones. Not only will you have more fun, but you'll be less likely to avoid VR entirely if you give yourself time to acclimate to easy, nausea-free experiences. End quote. Yes, absolutely this. everything that was said in there, I agree with. I would probably tweak a couple of things. For instance, having a fan in my face just makes me feel really anxious. I don't know why. So I try to play with a window or several windows open to give kind of a natural flow of air coming at me. It's not just a burst of air smacking me in the face all the time. I also recently purchased gamer approved. Hi, sweetie. You really want to know about motion sickness in virtual reality, don't you? Yeah? I also recently purchased a gaming-approved Dramamine. Oh my god, girl, can you just chill? And while I don't think, I honestly don't know if there's that much of a difference. It was just advertised to me on Amazon, and I'm like, okay, I was gonna buy more Dramamine anyway because I have terrible motion sickness on rides, and I have vertigo sometimes. So I was just gonna get them anyway, and I knew that there was a chance they might help with virtual reality. So every once in a while, I'll pop one of those in, and it seems to take care of the problem. Taking breaks might be difficult to do when you're the heat of the motion, you know, heat of the game, but 100% do that. You know, even if you've only played for 15 to 30 minutes, you can just pop that headset off and take a breather, kind of walk around in the real world, and you'll be good. But the biggest contribution that this article makes, and that I feel like virtual reality games or experiences can make, is the vignetting. It's the darkening around the corners. It is a miracle cure. It is some kind of black magic, because every single game that I've played where I can do natural locomotion and I'm zipping around, if I don't have that on, I will fall down on the ground and just lay there for like 30 minutes. It happened with Phasmophobia when I was playing with some friends. Suddenly, I just, you know, they were on their own hunting those ghosts. I was down for the count. That ghost could have actually came over and killed me while I was down on the ground, and I would have been okay with it. I would have been like, you know what, dude? Kudos to you. Thank you. No. But with other games, such as The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, and what is it? It's one of those games where you do just walk around and swing a sword around. And it's a Dark Souls-like game. And I'm trying to look it up right now while also balancing my dog on my lap. Where are you? Until you fall. Until you fall has a vignetting effect that you can activate. And I ran around in that game for hours rather than a couple of minutes without any sickness at all. Same with Gorn. Once I activated their vignetting effect, I was good to go. So that is, to me, one of the most important aspects, or one of the most important options that a game should have if it's going to be virtual reality, and so few actually utilize it. It actually upsets me. Anytime I buy a new VR game where I can move around quickly and there is not that effect, it upsets me because it locks out a certain way of playing the game. And this is an open note to any virtual reality developers out there, whether you're big or small, if you are somehow hearing this, please, please make sure to implement this into your game, because it is a miracle cure. I promise you it is a miracle cure. Thank you for listening. This has been my TED Talk. How have you dealt with motion sickness in VR? I want to hear specifically from you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Head on over to massiveglitch.com and send me an email, or send me a tweet, or any other kind of communication that you can get your hands on. Anchor.fm, which hosts this podcast, has a built-in messaging system that allows you to send your voice to me. I would love to hear you.
This show is a Massive Glitch. Find more Massive Glitches at massiveglitch.com.
I think we're about at the end of the show, folks. I'm Michael Leonard, and I appreciate you listening. Like I mentioned multiple times before, go over to massiveglitch.com for all of our social media, a contact form that allows you to easily contact me. I will love to read anything you send, and on top of that, I will most likely respond. You'll be able to find out about all the other shows that I make. Until next time, I hope that you have an amazing week and that your virtual reality dreams come true. Peace.
This was a Massive Glitch.